This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island. From the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you.
Welcome back to The People Speak. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. We are on live tonight, and if you would like to, we're on BBS Radio, and we're every Tuesday night, 6 p.m. Pacific time. And I'd like to remind you, if you'd like to call in for a comment for my guest or myself or a question, the toll-free number is 888-429-5471. Or direct at 323-744-4841. That's 888-429-5471 or 323-744-4841. Tonight, I'm very happy to welcome to The People Speak a friend of mine. He is a longtime peace activist, a longtime vegan, and a longtime radio show host of Go Vegan Radio, Bob Linden. Bob Linden, welcome to The People Speak.
Thank you so much, Cindy. It's so exciting to be on your new show.
Well, it's really nice to talk to you again. I've been on Go Vegan several times. You've been on the Soapbox several times. And this show will be archived also at the Soapbox. So, Bob, I'm not going to ask you a little bit about yourself because that's what this whole entire show is. And we have almost an hour, so you can talk as long as you want. And I know you don't have very much trouble talking, especially when you're talking about what you're passionate about.
Well, I've been doing my vegan radio program now, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, for 16 years. When I first started the show 16 years ago, somebody said to me, well, after 2 or 3 weeks, you know, what will there be to say? You will have covered everything. Now, 16 years later, I don't know if I've gotten to anything yet. You know?
Right. Well, I had an interesting thought because I'm a vegan also. And when I asked you to be on the show and I told my producer, Mike Kim, he said that that's great because the people who listen to BBS Radio love health shows. And I know that veganism is the healthiest diet for human beings. There's a lot of research. I know that when I have backslid, I don't feel well. I'm sluggish, gain weight, get ill and things like that. But for example, Bob, I don't think you do it for your own health, even though it makes you healthier. What if you went to the doctor and the doctor said, oh, Bob, your health is suffering because of this vegan diet. You need to eat bacon 3 times a day.
I would get another doctor.
Right. And what if the next doctor told you that? It's not. It's primarily, I know many of us started being vegans because we love animals, and animals are our friends, and we don't usually eat our friends. So how long have you been a vegan, and why did you go vegan?
Well, I'm vegan now 33 years, and I started off, at what is now called vegetarian, but I don't really regard non-vegan vegetarianism as really doing anything. I mean, it's thinking that one is doing something. But I was in college. I was going to college, Queens College in the University of New York. And all my friends would come over on Friday nights. I had the apartment and everybody came over. We'd play music and I would make a chicken dish with an apricot glaze. And I would do that every week. And then one Friday night, I looked down at the pan and I saw someone's body. It wasn't like I was looking at nondescript food items, round food things. I saw somebody's body and I said, you know, I don't think this chicken volunteered to jump in the frying pan. She probably didn't know it was her purpose on earth to be eaten by me. And I just said, I don't think I can eat animals anymore. And at the time, I was engaged to a butcher's daughter. My future ex-mother-in-law was yelling at me, saying, "You're going to die if you eat like that." And I thought it might be detrimental to my health, but I couldn't participate in the violence against animals anymore. I didn't know that violence and cruelty and murder happened also with my innocent-looking glass of milk or omelet. So I went on with that until I found the truth related to that also. So I went vegan immediately upon really finding out about dairy and eggs. So I thought it would be something detrimental to my health. I don't know if I would be alive today if I didn't go vegan. My father died at age 47 of a heart attack. All his brothers and sisters had heart disease. And we thought, well, it's in the family, it's in the genes, but it turned out to be on our plate. So I feel fortunate to be alive today and to have escaped the propaganda that tells us we have to eat meat, dairy, fish, and eggs, and that we have to consume animal protein to be healthy. And in the course of doing my radio program, I have found that animal protein is deadly. When I have spoken to T. Colin Campbell, who was involved with the China study, one of the largest studies of diet and health ever, he came on the show and he said, you know, animal protein is responsible for 80 to 90% of serious disease, and not much of it. So it's a myth. You know, industry is what profits from the sale of meat, dairy, fish, and eggs, those industries, and the pharmaceutical industries, and the medical industries. So, yeah, I'm happy to look at this as a health issue. Whatever anyone wants it to be, a peace issue, a health issue. I was on the GCN network for a while, which is Alex Jones' network.
Right.
They probably wanted somebody on there to make Alex Jones look sane. So they thought, well, let's have a vegan show. And Alex will look normal. And they said to me, "You're our first food show." And I said, "I didn't know I was a food show. Thank you for telling me. Maybe I'll have a recipe once in a while." Because I feel that being vegan and the vegan issue is about everything. It's about everything from food, you know, cookies to war and peace and everything in between. And that most of the problems that we have on planet Earth are caused by our appetite for meat, dairy, fish, and eggs.
We should collaborate on a cookbook, because I actually have some wonderful recipes that my grandkids prefer over recipes that have meat in it. Wouldn't that be awesome?
that would be great. It's time for a climate change cookbook also.
Yeah, I want to talk about climate change in a little while.
Mm-hmm. But still on the health issue, yeah. It has been found that going vegan is the only way to reverse many of these serious diseases, and people should look at the work of heart specialist Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn and people like that. They can go to the website of the People's the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, PCRM, and you see that consuming meat, dairy, fish, and eggs seems to be connected to heart disease, cancer, stroke, diabetes, pretty much all that ails us. And I had a friend in Texas who was carrying my radio show. He heard me on an interview, and he owned a couple of radio stations, and he wanted to carry my program. And I called him one day and said, "Well, Fred, how are you doing?" And he said, "Well, not so good, Bob. You don't know this about me, but I'm close to 400 pounds. The doctors are giving me weeks to live.
Wow.
And, you know, I'm just a mess." And I said, "Well, I don't know, Fred. You know, I'm kind of a simple person, so my answer to everything is go vegan." So I said, "Maybe I'm put in front of you now to, you know, just give you this advice about going vegan." And I directed him to Dr. Esselstyn, who, you know, has the program for reversing and preventing heart disease. And Fred suddenly lost weight. He's exercising. He's alive today, years later. And he went back to his cardiologist, and the cardiologist said, "Well, what did you do?" And he said, "Well, I went vegan." And the cardiologist said, don't tell any of my other patients.
Right.
So there's
and they have a really good documentary called Forks Over Knives, which is Esselstyn.
And T. Colin Campbell, whom I just quoted moments ago.
And he went to, T. Colin Campbell went to China and actually did some pretty comprehensive studies on this diet. I mean, there's thousands of pages of research.
Yes. So people can look for the China study. It's a book. It is the largest study of the diet and health ever. And he came to the conclusion that animal protein is deadly. And, we've come to think that animal protein is so important because of, because it helps with growth, but it grows tumors, apparently. So, and the dairy protein is the number one carcinogen to which Americans are exposed. And in dairy, there's something called insulin growth factor that grows baby cows really fast, but also grows tumors in people. So we're an herbivore gone mad here. And once that happened, everything else went wild also.
How do you answer people? Because this is like, I can say almost anything on my Facebook, but if I say I'm vegan, I get all kinds of hostility and reaction to it. How do you answer people about, things like the paleo diet and diets that are high in animal protein? That how do we get protein, Bob? How are we still walking around and active, and how do we still have energy? Why didn't we die a long time ago?
Well, I don't understand this either. I mean, there aren't vegans crawling around the streets, going protein. I guess maybe because animal products have a lot of protein and they want to sell us animal products, they'll point to the protein. But again, if we look at the studies, animal protein is deadly. So it's more, I respond, people say to me, well, how do you get your protein? My response is, how do you avoid your animal protein? Because that's what's really deadly. And there's protein in everything. There's no protein deficiency. There's protein in broccoli and beans and tofu and in iceberg lettuce. There's protein. We're not lacking protein. That's for sure. So is that hostility just for health reasons, or there must be other issues?
Well, a lot of times, probably you've run across this too, Bob, is that people, I think they're conflicted about it, because I think that most people love animals, they love their pets. And they're conflicted about, like you say, the violence on their plate. And so when someone talks about it, it's almost like we are, it's almost like I'm shaming them or making fun of them or saying that they're really bad, when I'm just talking about how much I love animals and how much I don't like to eat them. And so I think that they're conflicted. And I just say stuff anyway, because I think you got to put it out there and you got to plant the seed, right?
Right, absolutely. I mean, when I was on Green 960 in San Francisco, a listener wrote and said, your show is dripping with moral superiority and I'm not going to listen anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's something that takes us out of our comfort zone when we have to examine ourselves and look at, this is what my mother said was good, and this is what society says is good, and then, it takes some examination, some thinking of this to actually look at it and look at the morality behind it. I mean, if we're against violence, if we're against oppression, I mean, we have to come to the conclusion to go vegan. And, it's a moral argument that has to be addressed, I mean, it's very well hidden from us, and we don't know, that the kinds of torture and imprisonment and mutilation and killing that goes on behind the scenes, because we're all sold, through TV commercials, radio commercials. We have all the comedy and sex selling us these products, and all the misery is hidden. But, if we're willing to take a look at ourselves and what we do and, what we cause, I can only come to the conclusion of going vegan. I presume a lot of people who listen to you and read what you post and write are very interested in the cause of peace. Well, uh-huh. I mean, how can you be a peace activist? How can you go march for peace if anybody does that anymore? And I've been waiting for a march to jump onto,
right.
for peace. But but okay, let's say there were a march for peace.
Right.
Then how afterward do you go and go have something to eat and have the blood of a murder victim dripping down your chin while you're just marching for peace? The greatest massacre, the greatest war ever, is the one against animals, innocent animals, So, and I don't know. I because I'm vegan for so long, I see things from a vegan filter, and I would think by now, people would be, they'd be going along and maybe chewing and saying, wait a second, what am I eating? Who am I eating?
Flesh.
It's flesh. It's decomposing. The decomposing flesh of murder victims,
aren't they just dumb, stupid animals without feelings, Bob? Weren't they put on the earth for us to consume?
Well, every rationalization seems to work, if we want to avoid the truth, we can make up all sorts of things. Like right now, I'm so upset with the animal rights conference, the so-called animal rights conference that happens every year. Every year, my blood starts to boil from what it covers and what it presents. So the latest craze and phase seems to be what's called reducitarianism. There's this guy, Brian Kateman, who has come up with reducitarianism, which to me is really excusitarianism.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I played a video of his, and the message is, you can change the world by ordering a smaller steak. So, people like to hear what they want to hear. The Atkins diet was great, because Atkins told them, hey, eat all the meat you want, go ahead. But
right.
Where is Dr. Atkins now?
But and where's Dr. McDougall, who was, they were like, major opponents of each other. Dr. McDougall's still alive around and kicking.
Alive and healthy and promoting eating right. We are herbivores and, even if, what difference does it make, whatever intelligence level we assign to animals, and I often feel like they, are superior species considering our behavior, but they have feelings. They feel. They have emotions. They suffer pain. You can see they have eyes. They can see. They have mouths. They have mothers. So there is that similarity to us to know that they suffer pain. Why would we cause them pain? And even if people say, oh well, they're stupid, whatever. Well, do we take those of lesser intelligence who are humans and execute them for their intelligence level?
If we ate them,
then it would be okay. Then everyone would say it's okay. As long as there was a purpose, right? We ate them. So their purpose being put on Earth is, they're travelers in time on this planet like we are. It's this warped appetite that tells us that they were put on Earth for us to eat, and that's at times a religious point of view, and the Humane Society of the United States, that depraved organization, has also come out and said animals are that's their purpose, to be eaten.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if that were their purpose, would they have feelings? Would they be able to suffer and cry? I don't know. I think when we look at fruits, vegetables, nuts, grains, seeds, and beans, we're really talking about food then, you know, what grows from the earth and not those who live upon it. And we're not supposed to kill. We know it's wrong. And we know it's wrong. I mean, we know it's wrong. So we have to rationalize. And so, you know, we say, oh, you know, my mother, you know, it, my family tradition, my cultural tradition. But we all know it's wrong. We all know that killing is wrong and inflicting suffering on others is wrong. And every animal is born into the death penalty. So, I mean, I think we cover every social justice issue if we look at going vegan. And, you know, I had Ed Asner on my radio program years ago, and I asked him, well, what's your issue? What really concerns you, Ed? And he said, it's, you know, the death penalty. And Ed Asner wasn't vegan. He was just supporting some one-day-a-year promotion about not eating meat. But so I said, well, Ed, every chicken you eat is born into the death penalty. All the animals are born, they're harmless, they're innocent, they committed no crime. What did they ever do to hurt you? But they're all born into the death penalty. I mean, they're born to die. So, and his eyes lit up, and then the next day his office was calling me and asking about vegan restaurants near him. So, you know, I mean, it's, you know, it's a matter of fairness and justice, really.
Well, we have a few more minutes before we go to a short break. I think that the climate is a big issue, rightfully so. And we'll talk about this after the break. But I went to the climate march in Washington, D.C., just to see, you know, what was happening. And, of course, I know that the Pentagon is a big polluter. It's responsible for much climate change and fossil fuel use and things like that. And so, of course, the climate march didn't address that. But the climate march also didn't address veganism and how, if the world was vegan, how that would help climate change dramatically. And you have such an eloquent take on that. I'd like to talk about it after the break, and we do have a few more minutes before the break. But before we go to the break, tell people, and we'll remind them again at the end of the show, how they can listen to Go Vegan Radio.
Okay, well, the website is goveganradio.com, and Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. And I'm starting up an online 24/7 music radio station just days from now, or maybe when people listen to the archive, it will be on already. Radio Bobby, radiobobby.com. Before the animals took over my life and the vegan cause, I was a program director at music radio stations around the country. And I want to put on a great sounding music radio station that isn't interrupted by commercials for meat, dairy, fish, and eggs, McDevil's, Burger King, Wendy's, Kills Jr., all of them, you know. So I find that I can't tolerate any media. I have such a low tolerance for listening to a radio station or watching a TV station, because within moments I'm bombarded with the propaganda to eat animals and their secretions, or wear animals, or, you know. So I want to give people an escape, an oasis, that hopefully will give a music presentation that's different and good enough that they'll want to be there, and then it's not going to be ruined by, you know, some awful commercial for meat or dairy.
Well, I probably have a few of the only grandchildren in the United States that are not enticed by McDevils and their toys and their crappy meals. They'll say, oh, that's poison.
Well, it is.
Those seeds that we've been planting are actually growing in my grandchildren. And it is really, really worth. Like I told you, they love my vegan. They don't even know they're eating vegan, but they would prefer my food to any other food that's cooked with meat. And that's why I really think we need to collaborate on a cookbook to make, because it's yummy. It's not just healthy. It's not just humane. but
that's the big vegan secret.
And eating vegan is yummy.
We have the best food. That's another big vegan secret. We have the best food. We're foodies. We love to eat. And if you go around, look at all the there are vegan restaurants all throughout the country. They are packed, you know, and vegan cooking shows, and it's just our food is the best. It really is. So, and when people try it, they go, "Oh, this is vegan," because they're under the impression that they eat just iceberg. We eat iceberg lettuce and cardboard, you know. But our food is the best, and you know, it spans all ethnicities. So, you know, whatever, Asian food, Indian food, Italian food, I mean, you name it, we have the best of it.
So we are going to go for a short break right now. When we get back, we will talk about the climate change issue. And you just recently wrote a blog about the climate march and veganism. So I'm Cindy Sheehan. You're listening to The People Speak. We're talking to Bob Linden of Go Vegan Radio. So stay tuned and we'll be right back after this short break.
You're listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
With over 150 million registered users, Pal Talk is the largest video chat community in the world, with over 300 Pal Talk support staff speaking dozens of languages to help you enjoy your online experience. Meet new people across town or country or continent while chatting about your interests. Sing live karaoke, listen to music, join a lively political debate, or play group trivia in one of thousands of chat rooms in various categories from your PC, mobile, or tablet device. Joining Pal Talk is free and easy. Go to paltalk.com and become part of our friendly community today.
Hi, I'm Richard Valzer. This is the great BBS Radio.
Come, you masters of war.
Hi, this is Cindy Sheehan. I've been a peace activist since 2004 when my son Casey was killed in Iraq. I've learned since then that achieving peace means more than just being anti-war. It encompasses being pro-environment and pro-equality for all people of all genders, religion, and ethnicities. Please join me at cindysheehansoapbox.blogspot.com with many other people who believe in working for a more peaceful and humane future.
This land is yours.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me.
Welcome back to The People Speak with Cindy Sheehan. I am your host, Cindy Sheehan, surprise, surprise. And we're talking to my friend, Bob Linden of Go Vegan Radio.
And I am the people.
Yeah, so you're one of the people that are speaking right now. Bob, Bob, you probably heard about me. This is just something. You probably heard of me long before you knew I was vegan. What did you think when you found out I was also vegan?
I was thrilled. It's like, you know, you're living your values, really. I mean, I can't see how somebody can be for peace and not be vegan. But so I was a fan before. So I was a fan, super fan then. Fan squared, you know.
Didn't have to do any conversions. So we were talking about the climate march, and I went to it in Washington, D.C. It was, you know, the huge, tons of people there. Seemed like they were only mad at Trump because the climate, I guess, only went into crisis when Trump became president. Just everything else went into crisis when Trump became president. But then we were talking during the break about the industry, you know, the NGO industrial complex, how the peace industrial complex, they suck the money, the resources, the people out of the true peace movement, the true anti-war movement, and that mostly gets consumed by the Democratic Party and get out the vote for Democrats. And so they don't really want peace, because if there really was peace, then their funding would dry up. So talk about that in relation to, you say, the robber barons of the so-called animal rights movement that are sucking, you know, the life out of true, would you consider yourself an abolitionist about true veganism and animal rights advocates?
Yes. Well, first concerning the animal rights movement, and then we can move on to the corrupt environmental movement.
Uh-huh.
The animal rights movement right now, as I mentioned, you have that so-called animal rights conference coming up in August. So it's featuring, as I mentioned, the reducitarian who somehow is selling us a smaller steak as the salvation of the world. I'm sure the cows will be thrilled to hear that. but also, these groups, the main groups, for example, Mercy for Animals. Mercy for Animals has received $3 million from the Open Philanthropy Project to promote cage-free eggs and the eating of chicken. $3 million to Mercy for Animals, which used to oppose cage-free eggs and the eating of all animals, but $3 million can make you change your tune, apparently, even though with cage-free eggs. And that's been the big cause of the animal rights movement, it seems, for the last few years, is the promotion of cage-free eggs. Promoted by the Humane Society of the United States, which also has received in excess of $3 million from that same so-called charity, and the Humane League. All of these people, they have multiple speakers at the Animal Rights Conference. The Humane League received $3 million to promote cage-free eggs and the eating of the proper chicken, you know, the ones we approve, the ones who are, I don't know. That get the animal rights stamp of approval. That they're imprisoned the right way, they're mutilated the right way, and they're murdered the right way. Compassion Over Killing, $500,000 in donations to promote chicken eating. So among just those few groups, they've gotten over $12 million in the past year. They're boasting about it. The Humane Society of the United States is so thrilled that all of these universities and corporations are pledging to switch to cage-free eggs. And by the way, all they're doing is pledging, which will, you know, suppose McDonald's is now the hero of the animal rights movement because it pledged to convert to cage-free eggs in 10 years.
Well, oh my God.
Hip, hip, hooray, because what does that mean? With cage-free eggs, every single male chick who is born is ground alive immediately, thrown into a macerator, ground alive or suffocated. Every single male, every female is mutilated, her face is cut, you know, de-beaked, and she's thrown into a shed, maybe with tens of thousands of other birds. So she doesn't know that, wow, I'm cage-free and happy. I could have been in a smaller cage with only six or eight birds. Wow, I'm thrilled to be in this shed with 40,000 other birds pecking at me, jumping at me, fighting with me. And then all the females, all the hens are killed when they can't produce anymore. So that's the big victory, the big campaign of the animal rights movement is, I don't know, every one of those for whom it is advocating is killed. I don't know. That seems to be a pretty poor percentage, pretty poor advocacy. And this is the same movement that some years back switched away from its support for modified furnished battery cages and then supported those battery cages. This is the same animal rights movement that is supporting lab meat, which... you know, they sold us last year at the Animal Rights Conference saying, meat is delicious and we're not going to stop eating it. Well, I don't think that's a very good slogan for an animal rights.
<I know. laughs>
I think we need to go back to the marketing drawing board here, and it said 100% meat, 0% suffering, which of course is a complete lie. There are donor animals who will be farmed, and I'm sure they're thrilled about donating whatever cells. The cells to become lab meat have to be fed a bovine fetal solution, so they have to be fed the blood of unborn baby cows whose mothers were murdered. I mean, it's just so bizarre. And why is this movement supporting lab meat? There aren't people out there at Wendy's right now saying, you know, we're waiting for lab meat. We want a lab meat burger, you know? It's only these animal rights people, so-called animal rights people, who feel that they can dictate to meat eaters what they should eat. So I'm talking about a movement that is bought and sold, it's sold out. It's a movement that's sold out. The sellouts are animal betrayal specialists who are making a fortune. They're raking in millions and millions of dollars, as is the environmental movement, another major scam. Well, I went to the climate march, not this year in Washington, D.C., but a few years ago in New York City, and I brought my trusty megaphone. And I don't march with the climate marchers. I direct my activism to them. I was on a street corner as the march went by because there is a little known fact among environmentalists, and you don't seem to hear it from the environmental groups, and that is that animal agriculture is the number one cause of climate change. Yes, people's appetite for meat, dairy, fish, and eggs is the number one cause of climate change, responsible for at least 51% of all human-generated greenhouse gas emissions. This comes from a study from Dr. Robert Goodland and Jeff Anhang, climate specialists at the World Bank. Robert Goodland was the climate advisor to the World Bank for over two decades. And so they did an assessment, the impact of livestock on climate change, and their conclusion is animal agriculture is the number one cause responsible for at least 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions. Now, I went to a math and science high school in New York City. I know that 51% means more than everything else combined. So even when we talk about the fossil fuel industry, and we love to blame others. I mean, it's so great. Trump is like this gold mine for everyone, for the Democrat Party, for the environmental movement. You know, I was looking at all the pre-March publicity, and it was all, you know, Trump is president, donate, come to the climate march, you know. So, and as you said, Trump did not take us to the tipping points where we are right now. And in fact, what does it matter whether Trump recognizes or doesn't recognize climate change? Because the whole environmental movement refuses to recognize the solution. Now, the same climate specialists, Robert Goodland and Jeff Anhang, tell us that the only solution for climate change before it's too late is a 50 to 85% global shift to veganism. Do we care enough about the planet to go vegan? It is the only solution before it's too late. And if we don't do it within the next few years, 1,700 U.S. cities face submersion. So, and then people will come back and say, no, it's, you know, it's a fossil fuel industry. Well, just the land cultivated for animal agriculture produces more carbon, emits more carbon than the fossil fuel industry does on an annual basis. So animal agriculture is the number one cause. I know it's great to blame others, and we can blame Exxon, and, you know, we want to sue Exxon for what it knew 30 or 40 years ago, but that doesn't get us out of a mess where we are now. We have to go vegan, and these groups all hide this from the public. You do not hear this from Greenpeace, 350.org. 350.org and Fibbin Bill McKibben, he's off telling people that... I mean, this guy, he's telling people we need more animal agriculture to fight climate change. And he's just, and he says, who are we to deprive people in developing countries of the pleasure of eating meat? So this is the number one climate guy. You know, the Democrats pick him to put on the, you know, the climate platform or whatever. And he is, I guess he likes the taste of meat too much to really want to save the planet. So you have him and 350.org and Greenpeace and NRDC. None of them recognize this. And they were all mocked for it in the movie Cowspiracy. And so it's a cover-up. It's actually an environmental movement that is destroying the planet by covering up the solution. Now, they're going to say, oh, we need we need an alternative energy infrastructure. Well, that would take 20 years and $35 trillion. We don't have 20 years, and good luck asking, you know, getting Trump to ask Congress for $35 trillion to implement an alternative energy infrastructure. So we are left with going vegan, and we're left with a very dangerous earth-destroying cover-up from this so-called environmental movement. You know, a bunch of opportunists, you know, they want to sell a book. It's great. It's a lot of fun to get together with a lot of people and sing and dance and chant, and which we should be doing, you know, as peace activists, you know, anti-war. Then it makes sense for us to get together. But the solution is in going vegan, and that's the solution. I don't think we'll ever have the environmental movement embrace this truth. It's awful, you know. So the environmental movement is destroying the planet. The animal rights movement is killing animals, and is there a peace movement?
There is here in my bedroom where I'm doing this show for.
All right. Well, in two bedrooms in America right now, there's a peace movement.
We try, you know, we try to put it out there. But like I said, if there was actually peace, then there would be no need. And I would happily retire from the anti-war movement if war was ended. That is my urgent imperative. Incrementalism drives me crazy. You know, let's support these troops out of, you know, Iraq or wherever they are, Afghanistan, by, like you said, by 2020, let's have all our troops out. No, people are dying. The troops need to get out of there now. Animals are dying. We're not going to support something that's going to, you know, maybe make McDonald's cage free, you know, by the next decade or whatever. It's not acceptable. But we still struggle because we really care. We're passionate about our causes.
Right. Well, I've been a peace activist since high school. I went to Stuyvesant High School in New York City, and I marched against the Vietnam War. And I had maybe a firsthand look at it because I had to register for the draft, and I won the lottery, so I didn't have to go. But right. I wasn't going anyway, because it got me thinking. You know, what do I have against somebody on the other side of the world where I'm supposed to go and kill him or her? You know, and just militarism struck me as complete madness. Mm-hmm. But there's so much profit in actually, in everything we're talking about today, you know, there's so much profit that, I think that's the problem. I mean, look at this. I mean, look at the military budget here. Look at, Obama used up all our bombs. He dropped over 25,000 bombs on mostly Muslim countries.
In one year. That was
in
just
one year, right.
That wasn't his whole presidency.
Right, in one year, right. You know, so, I mean, I don't get it. You know, I really don't get how people can be this way. But, of course, I'm sucked into all of the alternative news on the internet, and I'm coming to conclude that these people are all satanic, cannibalistic human traffickers, and mm-hmm. what are the kind of, you know, what kind of person can drop bombs like that, you know, on strangers? And we have such a strange outlook on, you know, I mean, we create these refugee situations, and then, you know, the refugees are to blame. I mean, it's so hard to know what goes on behind the scenes because of the profitability of it, the banksters who are funding it. They fund all sides, you know, and you look at the donations from the defense industry to all the candidates, including Bernie Sanders, and we're in trouble, you know? I mean,
Right. And, yeah. You know, not only you know, do they donate to candidates, like, you know, big agriculture and big ag and big pharma and the defense industries donate massive amounts of money to universities.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. You know, that the people that should be being trained in peaceful eating, peaceful solutions to problems are being trained in the exact opposite, because these industries are pouring massive amounts of money into brainwashing our children.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, it's just totally amazing. And where is there a peace message? There is no peace message. We're so used to endless wars, and we're just so accepting of the bombing. Where's the protest? There is no protest. We don't care. I think maybe the only thing that could bring a peace movement would be a draft, right? So that, you know, if people were actually at risk of being drafted and going into military service, maybe there'd be some protest against it, because, I mean, now it's a business anyway, so it's all mercenaries.
Well, there's never going to be a draft, because that radicalized so many people during Vietnam, mothers, families, you know, young men and women, that radicalized people. And they didn't get rid of the draft because they're good people. They got rid of it because they recognized that it was radicalizing too many people.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's enough money to try to entice people who are economically challenged to get into the service.
That's what happened with us and my son, Casey. So, Bob, if you were inundated with funds, and I would hope whoever's listening would give whatever they can to Go Vegan Radio to keep you on the air and keep you going, talk about your vegan summit that you've put on for the past few years.
Right. Well, I created the World Vegan Summit and Expo in part because the current animal rights conference and animal rights movement is so corrupt, and we need to get down to basics, which, you know, the basic, you know, first precept is like ahimsa. It's being vegan. So, I mean, how can you really be an animal advocate if you're not vegan? I mean, that would make one quite speciesist, you know. I'm reeling from just learning about this guy, this reducitarian, and you know, you can change the world by ordering a smaller steak. You know, well, how speciesist is that? You can change the world by raping only twice a week instead of four times a week. You know, I mean, right. I you know, it's just. I guess morality doesn't count because they're only animals, right? There's a speciesism involved where, oh, you know, they're only animals. So we're able to look at them in a different way and say, yeah, smaller steak, that's good for the cause. So I created the World Vegan Summit and Expo, and you participated in the first one in Los Angeles. And last year we did it in Berkeley, and Professor Gary Francione called it the best animal rights conference he ever attended. Professor
nice.
Francione. Professor Francione is the first academic to teach animal rights theory in an American law school at Rutgers University. Oh, he has a website, howdoigovegan.com. He'll be very happy that I mentioned that. And I'm happy to mention it too, because, well, mm-hmm. howdoigovegan.com. you know. So we put on the two events, and frankly, I'm a grassroots operation. I don't have the money for it. The challenges that I faced both in Los Angeles and Berkeley were overwhelming. I still owe money for it, you know. I mean, just things happen. You find out, oh, security's going to cost more, or you know, just, you know, surprise expenses, and you know, so it's really difficult. It's necessary to do, but I'm out of it for the moment, and you know, hopefully again in the future. But for me, the cause is vegan education, vegan activism and vegan education. And you know, if I had some of the money that these groups have, I mean, the Humane Society of the United States, whose policies are created by a pig farmer, rakes in about $130 million a year. Well, if we had the vegan message out there in all media, on billboards, everywhere, you know, I mean, we could take over the world. And just to put these issues in front of people, how many people know that going vegan is the only solution for climate change? You and I, and maybe a few people who listen to my radio show, but that has to get out there. You know, people need to know about the health issues. And then, you know, everybody's talking about being progressive. You know, I mean, I don't think anybody knows what progressive is, least of all Hillary Clinton, you know. Right. But all of the goals of progressivism are solved by going vegan. It's like a one-stop shopping for the solution to everything. Well, first of all, you remember...
We only have 1 minute left, so we're
really
running out of time.
Flying,
I know, time flies.
Well, let's remember the Tolstoy quote, though. So as long as there are slaughterhouses, there will be battlefields, right? So we have to remember that.
Quote.
And
I learned that from you. Well, you've been listening to The People Speak. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. Our guest has been Bob Linden from Go Vegan Radio. So go vegan and go to Bob's site and
GoVeganRadio.com.
So GoVeganRadio.com. Peace out for now. Talk to you next week.
It's sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office at summer people. And they stood there hungry and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, redwood forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.